This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
يا حامل القرآن قد خصك الرحمن بالفضل والتيجان والروح والريحان يا حامل
بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم صلى الله عليه وسلم مجد السلام صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. Last time we stopped with a cliffhanger because we were finishing ayah number 6. And ayah number 6, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was talking about the fact that Ya'qub alayhi salam, who's a prophet and he's the son of a prophet, his dad is Ishaq alayhi salam and his grandfather is Ibrahim alayhi salam, he saw in the dream of Yusuf alayhi salam that he's going to be the next prophet. And this is why he said, وَكَذَلِكَ يَجْتَبِيكَ رَبُّكَ. So Yusuf, I can see through this dream that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is selecting you. وَيُعَلِّمُكَ مِنْ تَأْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ. Selecting you to be what? It's coming next. But he will be very specialized to, besides prophethood, he's going to be very specialized in the interpretation of dreams. وَيُعَلِّمُكَ مِنْ تَأْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ. وَيُتِمُّ نِعْمَتَهُ عَلَيْكَ. And he will perfect his blessing upon you. Which blessing? Which ni'mah? Prophethood. Why? كَمَا أَتَمَّهَا وَيُتِمُّ نِعْمَتَهُ عَلَيْكَ وَعَلَىٰ آلِ يَعْقُوبِ. So he's going to perfect his blessings upon you and the family of Ya'qub. كَمَا أَتَمَّهَا عَلَىٰ أَبَوَيْكَ مِنْ قَبْلِ. As he did before. Who are your forefathers? إبراهيم وإسحاق. What's the blessing that Ibrahim and Ishaq had? They were prophets. So you'll be a prophet like them. Inna rabbaka, indeed your Rabb, your master, alimun, he knows the right person for the right job. Hakim, he has wisdom behind everything he does. Now, as I always mention, and this is where we stopped last time, I said, at the end of every ayah, sometimes Allah uses two of His names or His attributes. And these names are not chosen randomly. They are relevant to the ayat before. And I gave you an example last time. We're going to go back to it. I'm going to give you another example and we'll get back to this one. We explained Alimun Hakim here. الحكمة means أن تضع الشخص المناسب في المكان المناسب وأن تأخذ القرار المناسب في الوقت المناسب. That's wisdom. To choose the right person for the right job and to make the right decision at the right time. This is wisdom. So this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used here Alim. He knows who's the best amongst the children of Ya'qub, so he chose Yusuf because he knows. And Hakim, he chose the right person for the right job. Now I gave you an example. I said when you read in Surah Al-Mulk, Surah number 67, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts Surah Al-Mulk by saying, تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكِ. Exalted, blessed is the one in whose hand is the control and the dominion. Mulk what? Everything. Allah made it generic. Because Allah explained this before when He said, وَلِلَّهِ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا. To Allah belongs the kingdom and the dominion and the control of everything on earth and the heavens, what's left and what's in between. So there is nothing left. So He owns everything. He's in control of everything. Is that clear? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. And He's the only one who can do anything and everything. You can do something. I can do something. But none of us can do everything. But Allah is the only one who is able to do everything. So what's the first ayah talking about? Control, dominion, ownership, and unlimited power and ability. What does that mean? It means it talks about izzah. Remember this word, right? The izzah of Allah, the glory of Allah, the might of Allah, the power of Allah. Because we're going to see the name that's going to be used later on. That's why I'm trying to, you know, wake you up before we continue. And this way Allah continues in the second ayah saying, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةِ. He's the one who created death. Hold on. Is death a creation? Yeah. How? The hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri in Sahih Muslim, he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring death on the day of judgment in the form of a ram. Again, I have to warn all of you sitting here, when you stand up like this person now, this is a camera. You walk and you block the camera. So if you want to walk, walk that way or that way. And friends who are sitting together, when I look at you one time, it means, you know, move from your place. I'm just talking about this now. Move a little bit forward. Please, do not interrupt me, because you're distracting me now. So Abu Sa'id al-Khudri said that the Prophet ﷺ said, on the day of judgment, Allah is going to bring death. Death is a creation of Allah. In the form of a ram. And then, yunadi munadi, there will be a caller who would say, Ya ahl al-jannah, fashra'ibun. Oh, people of Jannah, they will all be standing on the tip of their toes. Ya ahl al-nar, oh people of hellfire, everybody will be standing on the tip of their toes. And then he's going to hold death in the form of a ram. He's going to say, Ata'arifuna man hada? You know, like a sheep? A sheep. Do you know sheep? Do you know goats? Do you know lamb? Something like that. Okay? So, he's going to say, do you know what is this? And because everyone who will make it to Jannah or hellfire, they have tasted death. So they know that this is a symbol of death. Why? Because Allah said in Surah number 3, ayah number 185, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Every single soul will taste death. وَإِنَّمَا تُوَفَّوْنَ أُجُورَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. And it will be paid back. It's the payday according to what you have done in this life. فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ. Whoever is going to be saved from hellfire, وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ, and will be allowed to enter Jannah, فَقَدْ فَاز. These are the real winners. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. And this worldly life is nothing but delusion. So since we all will go through death, so everybody in Jannah and hellfire will know that this is death, then it will be commanded and it will be slaughtered. So as if Allah is saying, death is dead, meaning there is no death after that. ثم ينادي المنادي فيقول يا أهل الجنة خلود فلا موت. Then the caller would say, oh people of Jannah, you will be living in Jannah for eternity. There is no death. فَيَفْرَحُونَ فَرْحَ مَا بَعْدَهَا فَرْحَ. They will be happy in a way that they will never feel more happy than that. Imagine, you're not going to die. You're going to be in Jannah forever. And then he's going to talk to the people of Hellfire. يا أهل النار خلود فلا موت فيتحسرون حسرة ما بعدها حسرة. And the same call will go to the people of Hellfire, and he will say, oh people of Hellfire, it's eternity, there is no death. Then they will feel remorse and they will feel regret that they would never feel bad the same way they're going to feel at that moment. وهنا تلا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قوله تعالى في سورة مريم. And then the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم started reciting the ayah in Surah Maryam, where Allah سبحانه وتعالى said وَأَنذِرْهُمْ يَوْمَ الْحَسْرَةِ إِذْ قُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ. O Muhammad, warned them against the day of regret. Now they regret while they are in hellfire.
وَهُمْ فِي غَفْلَةٍ وَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ.
Because they were living in heedlessness and they never thought to believe and submit to Allah. So is death a creation? I told you the story. Yes, death is a creation and death will die. So Allah said, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةِ, in ayah number 2 in Surah Al-Mulk, yes, Allah created death. And I'll give you an example. What's your name? Ubaid, mashallah. How old are you, Ubaid? 9. MashaAllah. So Ubaid is 9. He's only 7 years younger than me, mashallah. So if we ask Ubaid, you're 9 years old, 10 years ago, were you existing in this dunya? No. So the state of non-existence is death. So before 9 years, Ubaid was not here. And then Allah brought him to life. Walhaya. If you are 41, 42 years ago, you were not here. It was a state of non-existence. That's death. You're not here. And then Allah decided to create you. So why did Allah create death, then life? Then after that, what will happen? Death, and then another life. And after that, eternity. This is why, subhanAllah, the people in hellfire, while they're suffering, they're going to make a dua. They're going to say, رَبَّنَا أَمَتَّنَا اثْنَتَيْنِ وَأَحْيَيْتَنَا اثْنَتَيْنِ. Ya Allah, we were death twice, and we were created twice. Meaning, we were not existing, that's the beginning, that's death. Then we came to life, which is now. Then we're going to die, that's the second death. And then we'll be resurrected on the day of judgment, that's the second life. And that's eternal. Okay, now, where are they now? Well, they're making this dua. They're in hellfire, may Allah save us all. They can say, فَاعْتَرَفْنَا بِذُنُوبِنَا. We admit our sins now, Ya Allah. They're being in hellfire. فَهَلْ إِلَىٰ خُرُوجٍ مِّن سَبِيلٍ. Is there a way out? Can you lead us out of Jahannam? So they're saying, we were dead twice and we were created twice. And now we are admitting our sins. Would you please get us out of Jahannam? No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, we have so many answers to the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell them, I have sent you messengers and they showed you my signs. They explained you the meaning of the book that was sent to them. What did he do? You denied. So don't ask for a way out now. You had your chance in the dunya. So now going back to the ayah, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاءِ. Why? The purpose of our life is coming in the next word. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ. So what's the meaning of this life? لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ, to test you. So what's the meaning of life here in this dunya? It's what? It's a test. Young ones, when you go for a test, sometimes some of the questions are easy. Am I right or right? Some of the questions are hard, right? And when you finish the exam and you were not prepared for the exam, you come out of the exam, how do you feel? Scared to death. What type of report card are you going to take to your parents? I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it, man. I messed up in the exam. I was not ready. Why? Because I played video games a lot. I didn't have time to study. Every time my mom told me, did you do the homework? I will. Have you finished your homework? Let me finish my video games first. Then the exam comes, you're not ready. You see the test? Same thing, we come to this life, you're supposed to pray. Have you prayed? Yes, how many times? Once a week, it's called Jum'ah. What about the daily prayers? I'm not ready yet. Why? I don't know. I'm lazy. I'm crazy. They rhyme, right? Don't you know you're going to stand in front of Allah, He's going to ask you? Right? So you have to do your homework in this dunya in order for you to pass. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, this life is meant to be a test. Okay, what is the test? How much money will we make? Is this like the criteria for success? Is this the standard? How many children do I have? What type of car am I driving? How much is my house? Which neighborhood I live in? That's what people are competing in now. Am I right or right? Uh-huh. But Allah said, no. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. The test in what? It's in the quality of your deeds. And al-amal al-hasan means you have to fulfill two conditions. You have to do what you do, fulfilling two conditions. Number one, you do what you do only for the sake of Allah, not showing off. Only to please Allah. Second condition, you have to do it the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not according to your culture. Not the way back home. Is that clear? That's ahsanu amala. Did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say aktharu amala? Did Allah talk about the quantity of the deeds or the quality of the deeds? The quality of the deeds. And I told you the two conditions. Because there was a man who did not make one raka'ah to Allah, but he made it to Jannah. Would you like to know his story?
Yes.
Oh, mashallah, they know, they listen now. Do you want to know his story?
Yes.
Oh, okay, I have to say it then. In the Battle of Uhud, there was a man who left the camp of the mushrikeen and he came running to the Prophet ﷺ. He said, I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship but Allah, and I bear witness that you are the messenger of Allah. What should I do? He just like, he said, turn that way and shoot that way. He turned that way and somebody shoot him in the heart and he passed away. He just took shahada and he became shaheed. So he took shahada and shahada. He took shahada and he got shahada.
He died an innocent boy.
So now the question is, when he took shahada, what happened to his sins? When he became a Muslim, you have a new slate with Allah. All your sins are forgiven. And before he did even pray one rak'ah, he just died in the battle. So the Prophet ﷺ said, هَلَا أَلَا أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَى الرَّجُلُ الَّذِي دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ وَلَمْ يَرْكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ رَكْعَةً وَاحِدًا. Shall I guide you to the one who made it to Jannah and he never prayed one rak'ah to Allah? He told him the story of that man. So is it أَكْثَرُ عَمَلًا or أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا? It's the quality, not the quantity. Wallahi, you never know what little act of kindness that can take you to Jannah. Can you imagine a woman who would just give food to a cat? Or a woman who was a prostitute who gave water to a dog? Allah forgave all of her sins. Just a little act of kindness. So, what do you do with your neighbors? How do you act with them? Oh, they're not Muslims, Shaykh. They're not Muslims. What do you mean? Even if they're not Muslims, how should we treat them? Allah said the law in the Quran. So number 60, it's called the Mumtahina. Ayah number 8. That's the rule in dealing with the non-Muslims. He said, لا ينهاكم الله عن الذين لم يقاتلوكم في الدين ولم يخرجوكم من دياركم أن تبروهم وتقسطوا إليهم إن الله يحب المقسطين. Allahu Akbar. Allah said, Allah does not forbid you regarding those who do not fight you on account of your religion and who do not expel you out of your homes to do birr and justice to them. You know birr? The word used with your parents. The best standard of behavior. And wallahi, 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 many people today come to Islam because of a little act of kindness of a Muslim towards a non-Muslim. Shall I share a story with you?
Yes.
Back in the days, I used to live in Calgary. And subhanAllah, I have a next door neighbor to my left who was a retired man, about 73 years old. He was not a Muslim. And my right next door neighbor was a single mother, and she had a single daughter who was a single mother too. And every time I come back home, when I first went there, it was summer. So Isha was like about midnight in Calgary. So by the time we finish Isha, you know, some people stop me, ask quick questions. By the time I go home, it's almost 1 o'clock in the morning. And my neighbor used to look at me, it's like, this guy leaves very early in the morning and he comes very late. What is he doing? He looks weird. He's brown. He has a beard. He reminds me of someone. Right? So the moment he would see me, he would run to his door and he wouldn't even wait until I say, hey, hi, how are you? He wouldn't even allow me. Until one day I said, Ya Allah, guide me to something to do to that person. I'm making da'wah to everyone. What about my neighbors? I don't want you to question me on the day of judgment. What did I do to be a means to guide them? So Allah guided me one day. They were not there and I cut their grass. We're talking summer. I've never seen grass in Ottawa yet, alhamdulillah. Okay, so I cut both my neighbor's grass. So when I came back at 1 o'clock, the neighbor opposite the street, he saw me and he told him, he said, he's the one who did it. So when I came back, for the first time, my neighbor is up until 1 o'clock in the morning. And when he saw me, he came out of his house and he's coming, walking towards me. I couldn't believe my eyes. I'm like, yeah, it was me. And he came and he shook my hands and he gave me a card. And he smiled, he said, thank you. I couldn't believe it, like, no. I forgot totally about the grass. I was like, why is he doing this to me? What changed his heart? Anyway, I couldn't wait. I ran to the house. I opened the card. Would you like to know what was in the card or next time?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay. So what happened was, what he wrote in the card brought tears to my eyes. He said, thank you so much. Not for what you have done, but for the meaning behind it. Please come and visit me and have tea with me and my wife. Allahu Akbar. Allah started crying. I said, Ya Allah, my dream was to open his ears only to hear salam from me when I say good morning or anything in the morning. But that little act of kindness, not only did it open his ears, not only did it open his heart, it opened his house for me. And we became very, very close friends. You know what? Since that day, I never cut my grass.
So that was your investment.
Subhanallah. Wallahi, I didn't mean it, but I travel almost every weekend. So every weekend, he'll cut my grass. And I come back, he's like, why do you do this? He said, like, man, I'm retired. I have nothing to do in my life. And he used to plant like flowers in my front yard and backyard. I said, Subhanallah. And we used to exchange food. And do you want to know the end of the story?
Yeah.
No way, we're going to be spending the whole night. So what I'm saying is, you never know which act of kindness that will take you to Jannah. But just do it. You might forget about it, but Allah will never forget about it. Okay? So what two names of Allah did he use at the end of the ayah? So let me recite the ayat again, because you already forgot them. تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير. The first ayah talks about what? Izzah. Allah has control over everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do everything. He's the Almighty. That's why he said, وهو العزيز. Okay, let's move to the next part of the ayah. Allah said, الذي خلق الموت والحياة لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَامَلًا. He's the one who created death, and then he created life. And what's the purpose of our life? It's a test. Some of us fail the test, but is it too late to come back to Allah? As long as you're alive, Allah will accept you if you come back to Him. So Allah said, I forgive if you come back, even though I'm Al-Aziz, but I'm also Al-Ghafoor. You see how relevant the names of Allah are at the end of the ayah? Is that clear? Another ayah. You know, the same surah, Surah Al-Mulk, ayah number 14. There's a story behind that ayah too. Would you like to know the story?
Yes.
Tonight is the night of stories, okay? Okay. You know Abu Jahl? How many of you know about Abu Jahl? Jazakallah khair. Okay. Abu Jahl, his real name is Amr ibn Hisham. What's his real name? He's the uncle of Umar ibn al-Khattab. Not of the Prophet ﷺ. He's the uncle of Umar ibn al-Khattab. Okay? And the Prophet ﷺ used to make dua and used to say, Allahumma a'izzal Islam bi ahad al-Umarain. Ya Allah, give power, give victory, give support to Islam by guiding the heart of one of these two Umars. Umar ibn al-Khattab or Amr ibn Hisham. Because both of them were very wise people. Subhanallah, Allah accepted his dua when it comes to Umar ibn Khattab because he was sincere. But Amr ibn Hisham, no. And what's the title of Amr ibn Hisham before Islam? His kunya was Aba al-Hakam, the father of wisdom. Because he was like an arbitrator. When people want a mediator, when they have an issue, they used to bring him. But subhanAllah, when Islam came and he refused to accept Islam, the Prophet ﷺ changed his name from Abu al-Hakam and he gave him that label. He said, from now on, you are Abu Jahl, the father of ignorance. And he got stuck with that name since that day. Yeah, those who are playing with their... No, stop that noise, please. Okay? So, Amr ibn Hisham, he was the leader of Quraysh. He was the leader of the, you know, mushrikeen of Mecca. And they used to meet every night in a place called Dar al-Nadwa. What's the place? Called Dar al-Nadwa. That was the place where they meet and they plot evil things against the Prophet ﷺ. They wanted to stop him anyway from continuing his message. Okay? So, one night, when they met together, every night when they meet and they plot something, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends Jibreel to the Prophet ﷺ and he informs him about the minutes of the meeting, everything that they discussed. So the Prophet ﷺ starts talking about this in the morning. And every time Abu Jahl looks around, he's like, you know, are there eyes amongst us? Are there spies amongst us? Who goes and reports us to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? But in fact, it was Jibreel. So one day when they met, that night Abu Jahl said, hey, tonight in our meeting, we're not going to talk loudly. We're going to be whispering. They said, why? He said, because we don't want the God of Muhammad to hear us. And then he will report us to Muhammad as usual. And he will embarrass us and disgrace us in the morning. Abu Jahl. He's the father of ignorance. And the more ignorant of Allah you are, the more you will act like Abu Jahl. You know, sometimes when we hide from our parents and we say, no one can see me, I'm going to eat something. And you put your head into the fridge, you come out, and you forget, like, you know, subhanAllah, some of the ice cream fell down somewhere, you didn't see it, and then you say, Allahumma inni sa'im, alhamdulillah, I'm fasting. And then your mom said, like, you know, oh, it seems that you were feeding like a cat or something on your chest. There is some ice cream here. It's like, astaghfirullah, it's shaitan. Shaitan. Right? So you can't hide from Allah. Allah can see you. Allah can hear you, right? So when Abu Jahl said this, try to whisper tonight because we don't want the God of Muhammad to be able to hear us and report us to Muhammad in the morning. Allah revealed this ayah. Ayah number 14, so number 67, Surah Al-Mulk. Allah said, وَأَسِرُّوا قَوْلَكُمْ أَوِجْهَرُوا بِهِ. Speak loudly or whisper. Whether you whisper or you speak loudly, Allah said,
إِنَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ.
Whether you whisper or you speak loudly, Allah knows the secret in your heart before you even speak or whisper. Isn't this even more embarrassing? That is sudur, meaning what? That in the Arabic language means sahiba. Dhu sahib. That sahiba. As-sudur is the plural of sadr, and sadr means chest. And this is majaz. Allah means what's inside the chest? It's the heart. Where do you keep secrets? What's the companion of your heart that does not leave until you start sharing it with others? These are the secrets, and that is sudur. So Allah knows the secrets of your heart before you even talk about them. So whether you whisper or you talk loudly, Allah knows the secrets in your heart.
أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقَ.
Wouldn't he know his own creation? Look at the two names he's using here.
وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ.
Hold on. Why didn't he say وَهُوَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ وَهُوَ الْقَدِيرُ الْغَفُورُ? Because they're very relevant to the meaning in this ayat. When he said أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقَ, wouldn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala know about his own creation? And he is al-latif. What's al-latif? Al-latif comes from lutf. When you describe something as latif, it has two meanings. It means very, very tiny. Very, very small. You cannot even see with your own eyes. عندما نقول ما لطف من الأشياء يعني ما تناهى في الصغر. Very tiny. So the secret in your heart, can anybody see it? This is what Allah said, latif. And the other meaning of latif, Allah is very gentle and is very nice in dealing with us. And Brother Ali is trying also to be nice after he yelled at you. He's making amends now and he's bringing you some candy, mashallah. So he's nice to you, you should be nice to him and the masjid, inshallah. Okay. So that's the second meaning of latif. Then Allah said, Khabir. Why not Alim? Alim means the all-known. Khabir also means all-known. But there is a tiny difference between the two. What's the difference between the two? When Allah uses Alim in the Quran, He talks about external things that everybody can see. But when Allah says Khabir, He talks about internal things that no one can be able to see. So what is He talking about here? Is he talking about something external or something internal in the heart? It's hidden. It's secrets. So he said, Khabir. At the very end of Surah number 100, Surah Al-Adiyat, Allah said, أَفَلَا يَعْلَمُ إِذَا بُعْثِرَ مَا فِي الْقُبُورِ. You know, don't he know? Allah's talking about us as human beings. When the graves, Allah uses an analogy as if they are like boxes. And when you turn a box upside down and you scatter everything inside, like all the papers will be spreading everywhere, scattered everywhere. That's exactly what's going to happen in the graves. You know, these bodies that are buried, they're going to be like, you know, like scattered out of these graves, and then they will be, you know, walking towards Ard al-Mahshar, the gathering area where we're going to be standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah said, وَحُصُّلَ مَا فِي الصُّدُورِ, and what's in their hearts will be calculated. So what's in the hearts? Is it seen by everyone? This is what Allah said. After that He said, إِنَّ رَبَّهُمْ بِهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لَخَبِيرٌ. He did not say لَعَلِيمٌ. Why? Again, because the ayah is talking about what? Something hidden. Something internal, not external. That makes you appreciate the Quran more. And you should know, you can never replace a word by another word. Because some people is like, you know, حَكِيمٌ خَبِيرٌ لَطِيفٌ خَبِيرٌ. Sometimes even a Bedouin was praying behind the Imam. And the Imam was reciting an ayah. And after that ayah, the Imam made a mistake. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ghafoor raheem. He said, no. Allah cannot make a mistake. You made a mistake. Because the ayah is talking about punishment. So if Allah talks about punishment, it should be Aziz Hakim. He's the Almighty. And He is wise because He punishes those who deserve to be punished. So it cannot be that. And subhanAllah, the Imam apologized to the Bedouin. He doesn't even memorize the Quran, but he said, no, Allah will never say that. He doesn't know anything. He just, by listening, he said, no, Allah, because they know the language. And when he was praying one time, also another Bedouin behind the Imam, and the Imam was reciting this ayah. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Dariyat, He's promising, He said, وَرِزْقُكُمْ فِي السَّمَاءِ وَمَا تُوْعَدُونَ. Your risk is in heavens. And whatever Allah promises you, Allah will give it to you. And then after that He said, فَوَرَبِّ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِنَّهُ لَحَقَّ مِثْلَ مَا أَنَّكُمْ تَنْطِقُونَ. Then Allah said, by the master of the heavens, it's true. So the Bedouin said, من الذي أغضب الملك حتى يقسم? Who made the king of all kings angry to take an oath? We believe you, Ya Allah. You don't have to take an oath. You see how trusting they are in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so going back, that's the ayah that we ended up with last time. إِنَّ رَبَّكَ عَلِيمٌ حَكِيمٌ. I just wanted to share a short message with you tonight before we conclude, inshallah. And that short message is like in ayah number 7 in Surah Yusuf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي يُوسُفَ وَإِخْوَتِهِ آيَاتٌ لِلسَّائِلِينَ. Indeed, in Yusuf and his brothers, there are lessons. Remember the word ayat that we mentioned at the very beginning of our tafsir? We said when the word ayat comes, it has 4 meanings, right? It could mean verses, literally, ayatul kitab, you know, one verse next to one verse, ayah. It could mean signs of the power of Allah. It could also mean miracles, and it could mean lessons and reminders. And that's the meaning here. So Allah is saying, in Yusuf and his brothers, there are lessons and reminders. For those who asked. Who are those who asked? And what did they ask about? That's what we're going to be talking about next time, inshallah. Okay, hold on, calm down. The camera's on you now. Can anybody tell her? Oh, mashallah. She's performing now. Calm down, we're finishing, okay? I'm afraid to give her some candy, she's going to have more energy, mashallah. Okay, can we make a deal? I'll give you this and you keep calm, okay? But you sit down here. Okay, sit. Who cares about you? I just care about the candy. She's not even listening. Okay, at least she made you smile, alhamdulillah. Okay. So, but I just want to take the word, you know, لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي يُوسُفَ وَإِخْوَتِهِ آيَاتٌ لِلسَّائِلِينَ. You know, one of the main things that we should learn in life is that we need to seek knowledge until we meet with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And if you don't know, you need to ask. And when you ask, ask those who have knowledge. Ask those who have knowledge. Because some people, they say, you know what? We would live like Abu Jahl. It's amazing to live in our ignorance. Because if I know, it's going to be against me in the day of judgment. Why didn't you do? So it's na'im. It's like, you know, it's a blessing for me to live in ignorance. No. Allah said, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Ask those who are specialized if you don't know. And then if you know, the Prophet ﷺ told Haritha, Ya Haritha, عَلِمْتَ فَلْزَمْ. Now you have the knowledge, you have to apply. You have to act upon that knowledge. Otherwise you'll be responsible for Allah. And it's time for questions now. So please, give me questions relevant to Surah Yusuf. If not, you can ask any other questions, inshallah. I'll have 15 minutes for that. Sisters also, they can send their questions, inshallah. Yes? So the brother was asking about the idea that Shaitan will be the one influencing the brothers of Yusuf to plot something evil against him. And that's what Ya'qub alayhi salam was saying at the end of ayah number 5. قَالَ يَا بُنَيَّ. He was talking to Yusuf back. Oh my dear little son, لَا تَقْصُصْ رُؤْيَاكَ عَلَىٰ إِخْوَتِكَ. Please don't share the dream that you shared with me with your brothers. Why? فَيَكِيدُوا لَكَ كَيْدًا. Lest they should plot something evil. As I told you, I spent a lot of time talking about يَكِيدُوا لَكَ. They're going to make a plan, they're going to make a plot, but it will turn out to be something for you, even though they meant it to be against you. Because later on, the main concern and the main problem or the main motive for them to make that plot was to take the love of Yusuf out of his heart and get their father to love them more. But subhanAllah, the more Yusuf went away from him, he was crying until he lost his eyesight and he said, وَتَوَلَّى عَنْهُمْ وَقَالَ يَا أَسَفَى عَلَى يُوسُفَ وَبْيَضَّتْ عَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْحُزْنِ فَهُوَ كَظِيمٌ. He lost his eyesight and he was saying, oh sorrow, come to me, I miss Yusuf so much. So they banished Yusuf, they took Yusuf away, the love grew in the heart of his father. So the kaid, the plot that they made against Yusuf, it turned out to be for him. This is why Allah said, فَيَكِيدُوا لَكَ. They will plot, but it will be for you. And then at the end, and that's what I mentioned last time, I said, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لِلْإِنسَانِ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. As if Ya'qub alayhi salam is teaching us a lesson saying, you know, when somebody does something bad, it's because Shaitan took an oath in front of Allah that he will always try to cause animosity between people, especially brothers and sisters, you know, parents and their kids, spouses. He will always try, like, you know, you might say something, you don't mean it, but Shaitan will come and say, oh, he means that. Even if it's the only possible negative connotation of what you said, they will just interpret it that bad way, subhanAllah. That's Shaitan. So always blame it on Shaitan when people do something bad to you. But when you do something bad, blame yourself. That's what we explained last time. Okay? Now. Yeah, that, so we're going to start with this next time. We said the Sa'ilin, it could be one of two. Either the Mushrikeen of Mecca, they were instigated by the Jews because the Jews have the story of Yusuf alayhi salam in their book, in the Torah in Hebrew. So the Mushrikeen went to them, they said, we want to create any problem for this man because we are trying to stop his mission and his da'wah, but it's not stopping and the number of followers is increasing. So what can we do? They said, go and test him. They said, look, tell us something because you have a book. We don't have a book. We have idols. They said, okay, we have a story of a prophet called Yusuf, okay, and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he doesn't know about that. So go and ask him. If he receives revelation from God, he will reveal Surah Yusuf to him. He will reveal to him the story. If he doesn't, then he's a liar. So these are the Sa'ilin. So the Mushrikeen of Mecca came and they said, what do you know about Yusuf? And why did his family leave Bilad al-Sham, Palestine, and they went to Egypt? And then the Prophet ﷺ, you know, told them to come tomorrow, and Jibreel came and he revealed the whole story of Yusuf to support him. The other one, I'm going to leave it to next time. It was the Sahaba, but what's the details? We're going to share this next time, inshallah, so you can come next time, inshallah. Yes, Rami. Did he leave? Oh. Now, that's a deep question. He's talking about the two sons of Adam alayhi salam. You know, Qabil and Habil. You know the story, right? And, you know, when both of them disagreed, so they said, we will give a qurbani to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And who's, you know, whichever qurbani will be accepted, like a sacrifice, then this is going to be the right person that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, accepts. So when they did that, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted the qurbani of Habil. So what happened? Habil killed him, right? And when he killed him, he was stuck. He didn't know what to do with his body, because this was the first murder ever in the history of mankind. So when he was lost, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent what? A bird. Do you know what that bird? Crow, right? And subhanAllah, the crow came, and there was a dead one, and he started like digging in the ground, and then he put the dead one, and then he covered him with dirt. So he was so ashamed of himself. He said, Ya Allah, I am not even able to think like that bird. So, and he learned burying from him. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it as an obligation that every murder after that, because, you know, Qabil was the first one, الَّذِي سَنَّ هَذِهِ السُّنَّةِ, who started this way. If anybody kills, Qabil takes a share of the crime with him. You know, you read in Surah number 5, ayah number 32, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, مَنْ قَتَلَ نَفْسًا بغير نفس أو فساد في الأرض فكأنما قتل الناس جميعا. That was the beginning, okay. ومن أحياها فكأنما أحيا الناس جميعا. And whoever saves one life, so if you take the life of one person, as if you have killed all humanity. And if you save the life of one person, as if you have saved all humanity. And this is why I was teaching the young people today. We're having a talk. And I said, when you live in a country like this, you know, you behave in a good manner and you do good to everyone. And when you do good, don't ask the person, are you a Muslim or not? Because you are trying to exhibit the spirit of Islam. And when you do this, you are making da'wah to others. And wallahi, many people come to Islam because they come to me and I say, why do you want to be a Muslim? They say, because my friend Muhammad at work, I saw him one time doing a physical exercise. You know what does that mean? He was praying. He was doing salah, right? And then, you know, that, like there was a brother, I told him, I said, brother, don't hide the fact that you're a Muslim. Because wallahi, when you show izzah, Allah will give you izzah. Because he used to hide during the time of salah, and he would go to a corner and pray. I said, no, tell them, this is the time for salah. And while one time he was, you know, hiding in a corner and praying, his boss came and saw him. And when he saw him, he was in a state of sujood. So the boss didn't know what's that, what does that mean? So he got so scared. So he came close to him, he's like, Muhammad, what's wrong?
Man, are you okay? Like, why are you kissing the ground? What's wrong with you? Are you passing out? And he kept talking, and Muhammad wouldn't talk to him because he was making sujood. And after he finished the prayer, he came back to him and said, I'm sorry, boss, I was praying. This is why I didn't talk back to you. He said, oh my God, I'm so sorry, I didn't know. But why are you praying here? Starting tomorrow, we will have no meetings at 1 o'clock. We're gonna make all our meetings at 1:30, and you'll have your break to pray, and you pray in my office. Allahu Akbar. You show izzah of Islam, Allah gives you izzah. You see what I'm saying? So don't hide the fact that you're a Muslim. You're part of this community. And they will respect you as long as you respect your faith. Wallahi. And they will not respect you if you don't follow your faith. So I was telling the brother, I said, you know, like, we do good to everyone. And we seek the reward from Allah. And when I do good to a non-Muslim, my intention is like I'm making da'wah. I said, if we are walking by a house now, and that house is in fire, before we go and help the people, are we gonna, what's gonna be the question I'm gonna say? Hold on, what's the name of the people in this house? Ahmed, Muhammad, oh, Jack, astaghfirullah, we're not gonna do that. No, you're saving a life. And maybe just by saving that life at that moment, when they see you, they're gonna say, when everybody was walking by and they didn't care, that Muslim came and saved me. I need to read about Islam. Wallahi, if they don't accept Islam, they will be neutral to Islam. They would not watch the Fox News anymore and believe them. They will believe what they have seen in real life. Because I remember one day, there was a lady on the TV. She's a very old lady. She came out of the superstore, and because there was so much snowy weather, mashallah, in your city, so that was like not even here, like in the West. She slipped because it was too slippery. So when she fell down, so many people, because she was an old lady, nobody cared. Many young people passed by her and nobody even, you know, didn't like even look at her. And a Muslim couple. How did she know? Because the man had a beard and the woman had hijab. That's how she could identify them as terrorists, Muslims. Okay? They stopped and they, like, the man carried her, put her in the car, and her grocery was like splashing everywhere. They collected all her items of the grocery, put it in the car, and the lady drove their car and the man drove the car of the lady, and then they escorted her to her house till they reached her house. They put everything in the fridge and they left without even telling their names or waiting for thank you. Because ayyukum ahsanu amala. They did what they did. They seek the reward from whom? They're not waiting their picture in the first page, in the front page. They're not waiting for a story, you know, the main story on the CBC. They did what they did for the sake of Allah. SubhanAllah, that lady was watching the TV in the hospital. She was watching the Fox News and they were attacking Islam and Muslims. So she phoned. She said, stop that nonsense. I'm in the hospital now. I have fractured my hip. But the only people who cared about me were a Muslim couple. And you might ask me, how did I know? I will tell you, because now you're attacking the man with the beard and the woman with the hijab. The people who saved my life, they were a man with a beard and a woman with hijab. That was a testimonial by a non-Muslim. So imagine if we behave like this. If you just take care of your neighbor, when you cut your grass, they cut their grass. Wallahi, sometimes I'll just cook some food and do extra and put some food in front of their house. They'll come back and say, man, your food is very delicious. I said, okay, you invite me next time, but don't bring me the main Canadian dish, which is chips and bananas and Pepsi. Right? Alhamdulillah, in Egypt we have ful, we have mahshi, we have, you know, tabbouleh from Lebanon, we have utka from, you know, Somalia. You know, we have biryani from Pakistanis. We have so many dishes. But I told them, you know, your dish, don't bring me chips and pips and come and say, this is the Canadian dish, okay? I want real food, inshallah. So basically, this is my message at the end, inshallah. We need to exhibit Islam through our behavior. Because when Aisha radiallahu anha was asked about the akhlaq of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you know, she was told, كَانَ خُلُقُهُ الْقُرْآنِ. You know, his manners, his behavior, his conduct was nothing but the Qur'an. So as if she's saying, he was a mobile Qur'an walking on earth. Any good meaning in the Qur'an, hospitality, forgiveness, tolerance, he exhibited that. And I will end up with a cliffhanger from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. One day he was walking and he saw a very old lady, and that old lady wanted to carry a load that was too heavy for her. And the Prophet ﷺ came close, he said, can I help you? She said, please, young man. So he carried that heavy load and he escorted her until she arrived to her house. And when she arrived, she felt so embarrassed. She said, thank you so much. I'm so sorry, I don't have anything. I don't have money or anything to reward you. But you know what? The best thing I can give you is advice. And that my best advice is, beware of a man who is new in this city and he's ripping the families apart and he's causing fitna in the community and he's dividing the family. You know, when he talks, his talk is like magic. He changes the hearts of people. So beware of him. Don't ever listen to him. His name is Muhammad. And the Prophet ﷺ smiled. And she said, why are you smiling? Next time, inshallah, I'll continue the story. Inshallah, let's make dua. Allahumma ja'al tajammu'ana hadha tajammu'an marhuma. Waja'al tafarruqana min ba'dihi tafarruqan ma'asuma. Wa la taja'al minna wa la baynana shaqiyan wa la mahruma. Allahumma aati nufusana taqwaha. Wazakkiha anta khayru man zakkaha. أنت وليها ومولاها اللهم ارزقنا توبة قبل الموت ارزقنا يا مولانا توبة قبل الموت وشهادة عند الموت وشهادة عند الموت وشهادة عند الموت وجنة ونعيما بعد الموت اللهم ارحمنا وارحم والدينا اللهم اغفر لنا ولأموات المسلمين اللهم كن لإخواننا المستضعفين في كل مكان يا رب العالمين اللهم ارحم ضعفهم واجبر كسرهم اللهم عليك بكل من طغى وتكبر اللهم عليك بكل من طغى وتكبر اللهم عليك بكل من طغى وتكبر اللهم إنا نسألك لسانا ذاكرا وقلبا خاشعا وعملا متقبلا ودعاء مستجابا طهر ألسنتنا من الكذب وأعيننا من الخيانة وأعمالنا من الرياء وقلوبنا من النفاق اللهم اجعل آخر كلامنا من الدنيا لا إله إلا الله وصلى اللهم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.